Dear members of Pilgrim, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Life is hard. It's something I often say when things go wrong, and my family are probably sick of hearing me say it. And I only realised yesterday that I must have picked it up from my mother, because it's a saying she often says. When I or my mother say life is hard, it's not that we're trying to be facetious or dismissive of suffering. Rather, our use of this phrase is an acknowledgement of reality. It's an acknowledgement of and sympathy for people's struggles in life. Certainly, life can be beautiful and contain moments of joy. But for many people, and I expect for all of you at one time or another, life is hard. And it's not helpful to simply gloss over that reality of struggle. Life is hard, for example, when you are chronically ill or you're caring for someone who is. Life is hard when your loved ones are estranged or they live far away or even, God forbid, they die. Life is hard when you are struggling financially due to the inflation that's currently raging or the economic shocks happening around the world. Life is hard when you struggle to balance all the demands on you from your work or your study, your family and also society. And for Christians, life is particularly hard when you experience attacks on your faith from the world, who sees your trust in God as irrational and your Christian morals as discriminatory and outdated. Or when you experience attacks on your faith from within, as you struggle to reconcile your suffering, your experience of suffering, with your faith in the existence of a good God. And we saw that, how Habakkuk wrestled with that in the Old Testament reading today. The Apostle Paul, like us, perhaps more than us, also had a hard life. And he wasn't afraid to acknowledge it. But neither did he allow his struggles to stop him supporting others in their own suffering. In his second letter to Timothy, as we heard in our epistle reading today, Paul specifically addresses the last two examples I gave you of attacks on our faith from either without or within. And he also provides comfort and practical advice for Christians who are dealing with such a struggle. Here again selected verses. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly remember you, that's Timothy, in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Before we unpack what guarding the good deposit is about when dealing with a hard life, let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Paul's second letter to Timothy was written while Paul is in prison in Rome, awaiting his execution for following Jesus. Timothy is a young pastor, a protege of Paul, who travelled with him until he was assigned to serve the church in Ephesus. But as we heard in the first few verses of the letter, Timothy is more than just a colleague or a friend. Paul considers Timothy his son in the faith. What's more, Paul longs to see Timothy, and later in the letter asks him to come and visit Paul in prison. At the same time, while Paul is suffering, he also recognises that life is hard for Timothy, both as the pastor of a congregation and as a Christian in a time of persecution by the Roman Empire. And so Paul's letter is also meant to encourage Timothy by reminding him of what he has, the gift of faith in a God who loves him and cares for him. Paul also encourages Timothy to hold on to that gift, to guard it, even in the midst of his suffering. What's more, Timothy is to rely on God's gift of faith as a comfort in his suffering, and to continue to share it with others as their pastor. But this message from Paul to Timothy was not simply meant for him back in the first century AD. It's not even just meant for pastors and other people who serve and lead in the church. Paul's exhortation to guard the good deposit of our faith, faith in the goodness and faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a comfort and exhortation for all Christians of all ages, but especially those experiencing hard times. So how do we guard this good deposit of our faith? Well, the first thing that Paul teaches us is that the life of a Christian will involve suffering, especially suffering for our faith. When it comes to the topic of suffering, Christians shouldn't be naive. We shouldn't put our head in the sand or fingers in our ears and pretend that everything will go smoothly in life, that we will somehow be exempted from suffering. Rather, the Bible tells us that our faith will be tested by suffering at some stage, and we will be tempted to hide or to run from that suffering. But Paul reminds us that the wiser course for Christians is not to deny the reality of suffering, but rather to confront it head on. To confront the reality of suffering with an even stronger reality, the reality of the gospel. The good news for us Christians is that while suffering is powerful, God is even more so. Life is hard, but the suffering we will experience in this life is also limited. As Paul reminds Timothy in verses 9 and 10 of the reading, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In this life, we are not guaranteed an absence of suffering, but we are guaranteed God's presence with us through that suffering. And God's presence brings us all the blessings that Paul starts his letter with, the blessings of grace, mercy, and peace. Despite life being hard, we are assured of God's grace in our life, his freely given favour to us. We can be assured that suffering is not God's punishment on us. While we may not always understand why we suffer, we can be confident that God still loves us and will use even suffering for our good, for our eternal good. And along with his grace, we can be assured of God's mercy as well. Our suffering in this life will only be for a short time, and then we are guaranteed eternal life, free of sin and pain and suffering forever. Above all, God promises us his peace, a peace which cannot be understood by our human reason, yet is very real. A peace which doesn't take away our suffering, but strengthens our reliance on God as he carries us through. Once we recognise and accept that life is hard, Paul calls on us to live that life, trusting in God and in his goodness. We are, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to guard, treasure, and exercise our faith, as I discussed with the kids earlier. Here in Timothy, though, Paul uses the imagery of a fire to help us understand how this works. He starts by reminding Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. Yes, faith is not primarily something that we do, but something that we receive as a gift from God. But after we receive that gift, then it does matter what we do with it. Like a fire, faith can either go out or it can be tended. Like a fire, faith can go out if it's neglected or smothered. Or it can be fanned into a roaring flame which puts out light and heat. In the case of the fire of faith, we can smother it if we are ashamed of God or his message. When we are timid in sharing our faith, or we're worried what people might say or think about us if we try. Likewise, when we neglect our relationship with God, when we refuse to listen to him or stop seeking out his help during our struggles, then eventually the fire of faith will dim and go out. On the other hand, though, if we value the faith entrusted to us, we will guard it. We will resist attempts from without or within to smother it. Instead, we will feed it regularly by hearing God's word and by receiving his sacraments. We will allow the good news to encourage, strengthen, and empower us. We will allow the gospel to grow our trust in God and his goodness to us, even as we suffer. We will welcome the Holy Spirit's work, transforming our hearts and our minds to love God and to love other people. And we will regularly repent and receive God's forgiveness when we fail. The third point I want to highlight from Paul's encouragement to Timothy is that our faith is not just for us. Rather, our faith is formed in the Christian community and for that community. We are not just given the gift of faith to ensure our own comfort and salvation, but so that we can support others in their faith journey as well. In Timothy's case, Paul reminded him that he was a recipient of the faith that lived in his mother and his grandmother before him. God used these two faithful women to instruct Timothy in God's word and to fan the flames of the gift God had given him. And that faith then led Timothy to take on the responsibility of assisting Paul and pastoring the Christians in Ephesus, despite him being a young and somewhat timid man. Similarly, all of you here will have experienced having the gift of faith from God encouraged and nurtured by other Christians. These may have been your biological parents or grandparents, like Lois and Eunice, or they may have been parents in the faith, like Paul was to Timothy. And the wonderful thing is that this handing down of the faith doesn't just stop with you. You also have the privilege of nurturing God's gift of faith in others, whether they be your biological children and grandchildren or your children in the faith. You have, for example, the joy and privilege of praying for them, as Paul did for Timothy, and reminding them of the gospel, the good news of salvation and eternal life won for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. What's even more amazing, though, is that this joy and privilege is possible no matter how hard your life already is. Even if you feel that you can no longer do most of the other things that you used to do in life, you can, for example, still pray. Just as Paul's imprisonment enabled him to pray for and encourage Timothy through his letters, so our suffering can sometimes paradoxically be the thing that frees us up to bless others. Yes, God can use the hard things in our lives to direct us away from ourselves and our own needs and towards the needs of others. Lastly, collectively, you can continue to support other Christians by guarding the pattern of sound teaching you have received. And please, do not underestimate the importance of this. The Christian teaching and morals most of you grew up with and take for granted are no longer accepted by a large proportion of Australian society, or even some churches, particularly in the areas of sexuality, identity, and the start and end of life. Paul's warning to Timothy in chapter 4 of the letter appears to have come true. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So how do you continue to guard sound teaching? For example, you can encourage your pastors to continue preaching faithfully what has been entrusted to us, even when it's unpopular and receives criticism. You can continue to support pastoral students, lay workers, our seminary and seminary lecturers, to ensure that we will have well-trained and well-formed people serving the church into the future. And I know that you already do this by sponsoring, for example, Tim and Tom, this year's graduates in a few weeks, and the work of Deaconess Kathleen in Shepparton. Please continue to do that. Most importantly, you will guard the sound teaching of the church by submitting yourselves to God's word, especially when it challenges you or makes you feel uncomfortable, and by then encouraging each other to serve faithfully according to that word. Dear members of Pilgrim, life for Christians is hard. It has been since the time of Paul, and no doubt will continue to be while we are here on earth. But you don't need to despair about that reality. Rather, I encourage you to counter suffering, both your own suffering and that in your fellow Christians, with the powerful reality of the gospel. With the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. Fan into flame the gift of God by regularly receiving his life-giving word and our Lord's body and blood. And encourage one another through your words, actions and prayers to eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.